morning we're reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 to 25. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without cause. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that your Spirit is powerful. And we thank you that we can leave here changed because of the power of your Spirit working and moving in our midst. And so I ask that we would hear directly from you this morning. Every person in this room, directly from you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you, before you make a major purchase, go to reviews? Oh, lots of you. Okay, so this is a big deal. Before you go and buy something, you check out, well, what did other people have to say about this? Is this a good investment? You know, and I think that's pretty smart to do. I mean, I do that sometimes. Sometimes I just click purchase. But, you know, we do that with products, but what about your faith? What about your faith? What about reviews on your faith? Is there a good return on your investment? You know, sadly, some people invest in Jesus because of the proposed rumored benefits. You get health, you get wealth, you get safety for you and yours, you get popularity, and a priority pass at the pearly gate. These are some of the rumored benefits of following Jesus. Now, Jesus here in this passage gives his own review of Christianity, and he gives it 5 stars, but there's an asterisk next to it. And that's what we want to look at. And as we go through this message today, I want you, each of us, to consider something. If you're not a follower of Jesus, this is going to be a great message for you. Because in this message, you're going to have the opportunity to determine for yourself, is this something you really want to be involved in? And for those of us who've been followers of Jesus for a long time, but maybe have always had kind of one foot out the door, looking around, maybe there's better things out there. This is also going to be a great message for you. Because you too are going to have the opportunity to determine if this is something you really want to continue with. Today is a big day. You get to make a decision by the end of this, whether you want to stay with Jesus or find someone else. And here's the bottom line of this message today. After you've read the reviews and everything, here we go. If popularity or ease is your highest priority, Jesus is not for you. I'm just telling you right up front what the message is about. Okay, here we go. John 15. Let's dive in. Starts on a really somber note, doesn't it? I mean, I could just tell. As soon as Mark started to read, it was like, boom. Because it says this. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. And we find out that when Jesus used the word if there, he means more like when. Because we find out in the next verse, it is inevitable you're going to be hated. Being a follower of Jesus is a one-way trip to the land of unpopularity. Why? because the world hates Jesus too. And I mean, and I don't mean the Jesus that's the simplified, caricatured version. I mean Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of popular culture. Remember, in Jesus' day, he was loved, but by a small minority of people. Some just followed him because they wanted food. Some followed him because they wanted to see the show. It's going to, you know, heal some people. And that's why they followed him. The same is true today, by the way. Some just come for the food. Or the free coffee. I don't know. So, here's what we can take away from this. When you are hated, it's not about you. When you get called names, when you're ridiculed, when you're falsely accused, you're just following in Jesus' example. This is exactly what happened to him. Okay? Continue on. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Talking to his followers. And when he talks about the world, he's talking about the world's value system. I don't know about you, it's easy to love those who are like you. Right? They talk like you, they dress like you, they do similar things, similar interests. Easy to love people like that. But followers of Jesus do not hold the same values as the world. The ones that are popular in society, in TV, on YouTube, amongst influencers. Followers of Jesus are adamant about the truth. Followers of Jesus have a tendency to tell the emperor he has no clothes. And the more separate we become from the world's values, guess what happens? The more hated you become. More unpopular we become. Jesus continues on. What? You guys are really somber this morning. Here we go. Jesus says, do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. When we are persecuted, we are continuing the ministry of Jesus. When you are ignored, you are continuing the ministry of Jesus. When you've been persecuted or ignored, Jesus is saying, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Okay, I'm with you. So, and some of you need to hear this morning, because I have talked to so many, especially parents, who grieve hard that their kids do not follow Jesus. And they take that as a personal responsibility, as though they failed. Look, there are no perfect parents in this whole world. Jesus is the only, or our Father is the only perfect parent. You might have done everything right, just as Jesus did everything right, and people still walked away from him. So take some ease, church. If you are being persecuted by your kids, and they're making fun of you, they ignore you. That's what they did with Jesus, too. Okay? That's what people do with Jesus. So don't be surprised when your spouse or your children or your parents or friends or co-workers don't listen to you. They didn't listen to Jesus either. Let's continue on. They will do all of this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. And so here we discover there's a cascading effect of rejection that happens. People reject followers of Jesus because they're actually rejecting Jesus. And they reject Jesus because he so represents his Father. Ultimately, you are being rejected because they don't want the Father to reign. They don't trust him. Which is why only followers of Jesus can sincerely pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And won't that be a great day? Oh, man, I'm looking forward to that. The greatest politician of all time, the greatest king, in all his wisdom, will take over this world. What a great day that will be. But only followers of Jesus want that to happen. So, rejection, persecution, or being ignored, it's not about us. He continues, they would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them. But now they have no excuse for their sin. I find, I don't know if you found this, people tend to avoid the historical Jesus. they say, oh, who knows if there is really a God out there, or nobody really knows what God is like, or which God should I follow? There are so many to choose from. And I want to say, look, only the Son of Yahweh, God of the Hebrews, came to reveal the character and plan of Yahweh the Father, who intervened in human history, who rose from the dead to prove he knew what he was talking about. There's no more excuses. There's no more excuses. There's no weight behind lofty philosophical musings. God visited us. He told us what he's like and what he's up to. And if anyone rejects him now, it's not for lack of evidence. God actually broke into human history. He said, here I am. This is what I'm like. This is what I'm doing. There's no more excuses left. And Jesus is the ultimate answer to life's biggest questions, one of which is, what's wrong with our world? What's wrong with our world? And some may answer that question, some maybe even in this room. They'd say, it's a lack of enlightenment. Not enough scientific breakthroughs. Religion is the problem with our world. Capitalism, socialism, ignorance, pollution. It goes on and on, all kinds of problems. Jesus said there is one problem above all problems, and it is sin. Sin is the biggest problem of humanity. And only Jesus offers a solution to sin. There's no excuses to remain unrepentant. That's why he said they will remain in their guilt. He says, anyone who hates me also hates my Father. You know, we talk today about oneness. This is what oneness looks like. Because the Father and the Son are so intertwined, so alike in their character, that to reject one is basically rejecting the other. That's oneness. And amazingly enough, he uses that same word and says that oneness that we have, we're going to get to this in a few weeks, that oneness that we have, that's the oneness I want in the church. Think about that for a moment. Our character, so similar, so under the sovereignty and hand of God, that if you reject one of us, you reject all of us. Wow. How about that? He continues, if I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. Again, no excuses. Jesus did miracles right in front of them, which, by the way, secular historians confirm Jesus was known as a miracle worker. Even Jesus' enemies confirmed, yes, he did a miracle. And then he topped it all off with a resurrection. And if this doesn't convince you, Jesus says, you remain in your guilt. Why? Because you are rejecting God's plan of rescue through Jesus. There aren't multiple plans of rescue. There's just one. It's just Jesus. And people had seen everything, he said. And not everyone was convinced. Imagine that. You could see a miracle right in front of you and go, yeah, what else you got? Right? That's what they did to Jesus. What else you got? Oh, man. And evidence doesn't convince today. Even when God broke into human history, that does not convince everyone today. Because ultimately, we humans don't want God to rule. Then Jesus quotes a verse. He says, this fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without cause. It's from Psalm 69:4. So here's Jesus. He's healing leprosy, calming storms, raising the dead, and he's still hated. Why? It says, without cause. There's nothing he did to make them hate him. His enemies could not point to one thing he did or didn't do. And the underlying issue, again, Jesus represented the one that people didn't want to bow to. Now, we've heard a lot about Father and Son. But Jesus is not done, because now he's going to bring in the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And he says, but I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. There is no ego in the Trinity, you know. They're all about each other. They're pointing to each other. The Spirit's job is to come and tell people about Jesus. He's not saying, look at me, I'm the Holy Spirit, I'm pretty cool. He's about passing on glory to the Son. I mean, what does that mean for us as a church? If we're called to that same oneness, there should be no ego in the church. There should be no, hey, look at me. Look at all I've done. Why doesn't someone say thank you? Why don't I get acknowledgement? Why isn't there a party for me? Right? Each person is to turn from their sin. And when they do, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and sets up shop and begins to change a person from the inside out. This is pretty cool. This is a transformation. And the Holy Spirit points to Jesus. So when we have the question, am I loved? The Holy Spirit will point you to the cross of Christ. When we ask the question, is there hope for my future? The Holy Spirit will point you to the empty tomb of Jesus. When you may ask, what is humanity's greatest problem? The Spirit may point you to Jesus' teaching on sin and the need to repent. The Spirit transforms believers from the inside out by testifying and revealing the truth about Jesus. Next, and you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. This is a personal note of instruction to the apostles, but it also applies to us. And you'll notice he says, you have to testify about me. You don't have to be a biblical scholar. You don't have to have it memorized. You don't have to know all the different points of Calvinism or whatever is hot out there these days. I don't care. It says, testify about me. What has Jesus done in you? That's what you're responsible for. That's what you have the privilege of passing on to others. What has Jesus done in you? We probably have many, many stories in this room about what Jesus has done for me and for you. That is our message to the world. Go out, give that message. That's what Jesus is saying here. It is our privilege. He said, I've told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. Now I said Jesus would give a thorough review of Christianity. I believe he gives it 5 out of 5 stars. But with an asterisk, right? He also said there would be a downside, and the downside would be persecution. What Jesus is trying to do here is avoid buyer's regret, where you think you're getting one thing and you actually get another. And I think what Jesus is pointing to here is it's better to never have claimed to follow Jesus than to claim it and then fall away. And the Bible teaches this. So many people walk away today because they thought they were getting safety and riches and health and popularity. That's a religious scam, by the way. Where you use God, not love God. God wants a love relationship with you. One that's based on trust. And trusting him means we trust him in the good things and the bad things. The uncomfortable things. Ultimately, Jesus wants you to make it to the end. So he's warning you in advance. Look, if you're considering following me, you just gotta know. Persecution will come. You will be ignored. He's so upfront in his review of Christianity. He said, for you will be expelled from the synagogues. And the time is coming when those who kill you will think they are doing a holy service for God. Ooh. This is because they have never known the Father or me. You know, often when we think of persecution, we think that's going to come from people who don't have a religion or people of other religions. Right? That's what we often think of. But it can come from people who claim to follow the same God as you. And Jesus is telling us right up front that some will claim their worship, their service to God, will be taking you down. How do you feel about that? How do you like them apples? Jesus said, be prepared for this. Jesus warned us. And the New Testament corroborates this is exactly what happened. A lot of the persecution that the early Christians faced was people who claimed to follow the same God as them. And it makes sense. Why? Because that's what happened to Jesus. See? That's his whole point. Jesus infuriated the irreligious first. He infuriated the irreligious. All his rigid rules about sexuality and love for enemies. Irreligious people hated that. Jesus infuriated the religious. And when I say the religious, I mean those who believe they can save themselves or prove their own worthiness. Jesus infuriated them because of his association with sinners and breaking the rules that they made up. And we too, if we are following Jesus, should expect fire from both sides. From both the irreligious and the religious. Truth is an affront to the irreligious. Grace is a scandal to the religious. And we are to be filled with both grace and truth. This is love, right? So expect fire from both sides. Are you feeling good yet? This is going to be known as my feel-good sermon of the year, I can tell. You're going to be passing this one, sharing it. I just know. Okay. Here we go. He finishes up. Yes, I'm telling you these things now so that when they happen, you will remember my warning. I didn't tell you earlier because I was going to be with you a while longer. So he wanted to wait. Remember, these are Jesus' final instructions to his disciples. So we have been warned. Following Jesus is not a cakewalk. It's no easy street. Jesus wants you to know your life circumstances may get harder, but he'll be with you. And he will love you through all of them. And look how much Jesus loves each one of you. He's telling you up front. He's not hiding anything from you. There's no trickery here. He's warning you up front. If you are considering following Jesus, he's telling you, look, this is what not may happen. This is going to happen. And you and I need to decide if that's worth the price of following Jesus. Will you look at his review and accept his proposal? And his proposal ultimately is this: all of me for all of you. Is it worth it to you? That's the question before all of us as we look at this passage. Because if popularity or ease is your highest priority, Jesus is not for you. So, let's sum up. Here's what we've learned today. Number one. Persecution is inevitable. If you follow Jesus, know that you will be made fun of. Know that you will be name-called. Know that you will be accused falsely. Know that people will make trouble for you. You can count on it. Do not expect the world to make an exception to you because you're so good-looking. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Number two, persecution is ultimately not about you. They're not your family, your spouse, your friends, your neighbors, they're not ultimately rejecting you. They are rejecting our Father, who is coming to reign. They are rejecting your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what they're really rejecting. And number three, persecution will come from inside and outside the church. Truth and grace both offend people. They're scandalous. Irreligious people are offended by the truth. Religious people are offended by grace. And as you've probably heard before, Jesus was too liberal for the conservatives and too conservative for the liberals, and you and I should be exactly the same way. We should be ticking people off on both ends. And if you find that you're only getting fire from one side, take that as a warning. Perhaps your own theology, perhaps your own practice of following Jesus is a little off. And if you think Jesus is being a bit of an alarmist, you think he's overstating his case a little bit, I want to tell you about this guy, Frank Turek. In 2008, Dr. Turek was hired by Cisco Systems to design and conduct a leadership and team-building problem-solving exercise for 50 managers. It took a year to conduct, and it earned high praise. He was then asked in 2010 to design a similar program for 200 managers within global technical services. with 10 separate 8-hour sessions. Okay, you with me so far? 10 separate 8-hour sessions. After the 7th session, a manager phoned in to complain. It was not about the content of the course or the delivery of the course. He said the course was excellent, and most who took the course agreed. The complaint was about Dr. Turk's religious view, which was never mentioned during the course. But he discovered it, this manager discovered it, by Googling. And he Googled Dr. Turk. And in his Googling, he discovered Dr. Turk had written a book defending traditional marriage. Well, this manager, who had never read the book, claimed the book was inconsistent with Cisco values and could not be tolerated. And Dr. Turk was in the room when that call came in, so that's why he knows this. Dr. Turk was fired that day by HR without them even speaking to him. And then HR commended the manager for outing Dr. Turk. I tell you this story because if you think this isn't happening today, it is happening today. Just as Jesus predicted, Christians are being shunned by their families, losing their jobs because they're not celebrating popular things or not saying the required words that betray their beliefs. Jesus said, expect this. This is not about you, and expect it from irreligious and religious. So take stock. If popularity or ease is your highest priority, Jesus is not for you. And in case you might think that Jesus just said this in this passage, and you know, and maybe I'm making too much of a big deal out of it, may I remind us of something else that Jesus said. He said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must, not may, not might, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. This is what a follower of Jesus does. They say, my life, as I knew it, is over. It's done. And you surrender your entire life to Christ. And you say, do with me whatever you want. Good stuff, bad stuff, it doesn't matter. I just want to serve you. I want to be your hands and feet in the world. I want to give up everything just for you. That's what a follower of Jesus does. Now, if that does not sound attractive to you, hey, I'm just glad you're here, honestly. Like, I'm just glad you listened to this whole thing and you didn't stand up and mad and protest and whatever. So thank you for listening. But it could be that Jesus is not for you right now. I hope one day he will be. For those of you who have been kind of living your life following Jesus with one foot out the door, you have a very casual relationship with Jesus. You don't speak to him much during the week. And you have a very casual relationship with your church. See them once or twice a month. You might want to consider the cost. Because Jesus didn't make things easy. Salvation is free, don't get me wrong. He said, if you want to follow me, consider your life over. Consider that persecution is coming, and it will come for you. And you'll have to decide, do I want Jesus or do I want my spouse? Do I want Jesus or do I want my kids? Tough decisions sometimes. But that's what some of us are facing right now. There's a lot of heartbreak in this room. A lot of heartbreak. But ultimately, you have to decide. What are you living for? Are you living for your kids? Are you living for your spouse? Or are you living for Jesus?